This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, the best and only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and partner at Apollo Media. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as at Apollo HOU. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Be sure to visit RockAuto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. And also, thank you for making this show a part of your day, whether it's on your drive to work, whether you're slacking off at work and, you know, paying attention to this show and not actually doing your work. That's cool, too. Listen to it on your lunch break, whatever it is. Just, you know, I would appreciate if you make Locked On your first listen of the day. Would sincerely appreciate it. Free and available on all platforms, Apple, Spotify, Google, the brand new Odyssey app, wherever you listen to your podcast, as well as our brand new YouTube page. Go check us out there. Lot to get into today. We've got a mailbag episode teed up. Had to move some things around. The mailbag episode was supposed to be Monday. Had to move a couple things around. And so the mailbag episode is now today. Got a bunch of great questions thrown on here to tackle. And not only that, the Rockets are basically finalizing their roster moves going into this season. You know, their final move was to waive Dante Exum to make room for Armani Brooks. We found out Armani Brooks got the 4-year deal. We were able to react to that, but we didn't quite know who was going to be the player that had to ultimately bite the bullet to make room for Armani Brooks and his new 4-year standard NBA contract with the Houston Rockets. Ultimately, Dante Exum, the guy that gets waived. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more later about whether or not it was the right move for the Rockets to move on from Dante Exum. But in addition to moving on from Dante Exum, the Rockets have also moved on from Anthony Lamb, who is no longer on a 2-way contract with the Houston Rockets. Instead, the Rockets bringing in former Wizards sharpshooter Garrison Matthews. Showed a little bit of promise with the Wizards. Last season, he was in camp with the Boston Celtics. This go-around, 6'5 guard, made about 38% of his threes last season, shot 41% as a rookie the year before that. So the Rockets are actively looking to bring in some shooting, which is a good sign, right? Commit long-term money to Armani Brooks, bring in Garrison Matthews on a 2-way deal. That way, they have a little bit of shooting to work with because you look up and down this roster, and unfortunately, there's not a lot of sharpshooters on this team, and it can be problematic. I think that's going to be a recurring theme we see a lot of this season is the shooting is a gigantic question mark for a lot of players on this roster, and the defense is going to be highly suspect all throughout this season as this young group of guys learns to play together, develop chemistry, all of that, really working on the schemes. Young teams tend to be bad at defense. That's a reality that I need to, if I can just, do I need to, hang on. Young teams are going to be bad at defense. I just want to hammer that in, okay? That's just, get right up into the camera for that one. So no, but I like the move with Matthews, you know, low risk, get him on a contract. You know, I like Anthony Lamb. He's a great hustle guy. He, you know, did some little things on the court that looked really good, but it never felt like he was able to really put it together at the NBA level, right? He goes in, you know, former, you know, G League most improved player, looks good in spurts in summer league, but, you know, and just never really felt like he could put it all the way together, unfortunately. And, you know, wish him all the best, obviously, for Anthony Lamb. The Rockets also made a couple other moves over these past few days, basically signing and waiving players immediately so that they can retain their G League rights. And so they did that with guard Christian Vital. And then who is the other guy? I have his notes right here. Fiondu Cabangeli, who's actually the nephew of Rockets legend Dikembe Mutombo. A couple guys that the Rockets, I'm sure, are going to take a hard look at with the G League Vipers, maybe bring them in. And Kevin Gelly's interesting because he's kind of a stretch big, 6'9", 6'10", hasn't ever shot the ball incredibly well from behind the arc, like on like a large sample size, I should say, but remains interesting nonetheless. Some good size there. He's going to be a guy that I'm going to be paying attention to at the G League level to see how he actually pans out. But the Houston Rockets, if you're wondering why you're getting those, like, you know, Shams and Woj tweets about the Rockets signing and then subsequently waiving players, that's why they do it, to pick up their G League rights. That way they can have first dibs on them a little bit later on. But the Rockets basically finalizing their 15-man roster, the last move of which being the move to sign Armoni Brooks and waive Dante Exum. So their 15-man roster locked in. And now it looks like their two-way contract spots are locked in with Dacian Nix and Garrison Matthews. But to just recap very quickly, the 15-man roster in descending order from highest paid to lowest paid: John Wall, Eric Gordon, Christian Wood, Jalen Green, Daniel Tice, DJ Augustine, David Nwaba, Daniel House Jr., Alperen Şengün, Usman Garuba, Josh Christopher, Kevin Porter Jr., KJ Martin, Jayshon Tate, and lastly, Armoni Brooks. That is your 15-man Houston Rockets roster for this upcoming season. And now we're going to have to dive into our mailbag questions, and we're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Theragun. Because look, you can't let the stress of daily life weigh on your body, whether you're an elite athlete or someone like me just trying to make it through the day tension-free. Theragun can help you. Theragun is the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combo of depth, speed, and power, and it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. The Gen 4 Theragun doesn't just feel good. It gets to the source of the pain by releasing tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which goes 60% deeper than vibration alone. Whether you want to treat your muscle tension from working out and maybe an injury or a long-term, you know, lingering sore, you know, soreness, whatever, or just the stress of everyday life, right? There's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4. Try Theragun for 30 days starting at only $199. Go to therabody.com/lockedon right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's therabody.com/lockedon. therabody.com/lockedon. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Let's go ahead, and we've got a number of really solid questions here, you know, via the mailbag. And I appreciate everybody for chiming in on these. I love being able to have this opportunity to, you know, interact directly. And I'm going to try and do more of this throughout the season, be it doing things like, you know, maybe some live shows, some fan interaction via social media, that kind of thing. Really still trying to experiment and play with the YouTube platform. Maybe we'll do some live shows streamed directly towards YouTube, maybe some like post game recaps where we just, you know, throw it on live, right? Like right after Silas and the players are done with their post game pressers, just throw on the post game recap live and we'll just run through what happened in the game action, stuff like that. So I'm going to still, you know, still playing around with some of those. But let's go ahead and dive into our questions. And the first one we got teed up, maybe I should do this because I've got my mail prop over here. Let me just, okay. No, I'm not really going to do that. I should really start using props, really incentivize people to come take a look at the YouTube channel rather than just listen to the voice on the podcast platforms. But I don't want the podcast audience to miss out. So let's go ahead and dive into our questions. So our very first question coming from Ron TV. Thoughts on Wood and Şengün together? It's obviously been a little bit limited so far. The minutes that we've seen Wood and Şengün together, we saw them a lot in the Spurs game, and you know, before that, didn't get, you know, too big of a glimpse at them. And I still think there's a lot more we need to see from those two guys, but I think it's very abundantly clear things flow better when you have Wood and Şengün both out there, especially offensively, than they do with Wood and Tice. And I think a big part of that is they're still trying to figure out the offense with Daniel Tice out there on the floor. I largely believe that when Tice was on the floor alongside Christian Wood, Wood would be spotting up from, say, like the corner or the wing, and then Daniel Tice would be the role man, and that would be kind of the dynamic there because Tice is not as strong of a spot-up shooter as Christian Wood. And we've seen that from time to time, but we've also seen a lot of like five out spacing where they just isolate off the wing, and the spacing can be kind of trash when they do that. We've also seen Christian Wood as the screener, whether it be picking and popping or picking and rolling, and Tice, you know, out on the wing, and defenders are more comfortable helping off of Daniel Tice than they are off Christian Wood. So I think there's some question marks there. And Tice does not bring you the playmaking ability that Alper and Şengün does. You can run the offense through Şengün, which is something that we didn't see an abundant amount of in Summer League. I knew that the Rockets were capable of doing it, and Will Weaver even commented saying we don't want to just exclusively run the offense through Şengün because we're trying to establish and run other sets, and we're comfortable with using him as a screener and a high post player. And that's what we're seeing him be used as now, as he's being used as a really effective screener. He's a really good screener. Like, I think there's one thing that if you look at these bigs, right, between Wood, Şengün, and Tice. Tice is an excellent screener. Shingun's done a solid job of screening so far. He sets strong screens, right? He gets planted and he puts his body right in the way of the defender to really set a good hard pick to free up whoever the ball handler is. Christian Wood's screens are a little bit weak, right? He doesn't have a strong base. He kind of plants and sometimes he takes off a little too early. I'm nitpicking a little bit here. I like the pairing of Christian Wood and Alper and Şengün. I think they complement each other really, really well. And I think the biggest question was going to be, what do they look like defensively? And so far, Alper and Şengün has absolutely held his own defensively. He's a smart, high IQ player. He knows where to be defensively, does his work early, especially in the rebounding department. So, I mean, if you're closing out a strong defensive possession, right? How do you close out a strong defensive possession? You got to secure the defensive board. And so having a guy like Şengün, who's got an absolute nose for the basketball, knows how to rebound, does his work early, great way to close out defensive possessions, which actually kind of leads us into our very next question from Derek G. Should Şengün be starting ASAP? My heart is telling me no, but my body's telling me yes. No, I don't know. No, seriously, it's a tough situation because I think a lot of Rockets fans are clamoring for Şengün to start, and rightfully so, right? He looks as build. He looks better than build, right? He looks like a former MVP out there, right? He's playing well beyond his years. I think it's going to be hard for the Rockets to turn around and say, hey, Daniel, look, we really appreciate you signing here, and you're cool and all that, but we're going to bench you for Şengün. Thanks. I don't think the optics of that would look super great for other potential free agents. I'm sure that some of the discussions that were had with Daniel Tice were under the assumption that he'd probably be starting alongside Christian Wood. And now that's not to say, I don't think Daniel Tice was brought in under the guise of the fact that he's going to be the de facto starting, you know, four or five for the next 3-4 years. No, I think it's very clear the direction that this team is headed. That said, I wouldn't be shocked if they roll with Tice for a while. Originally, I had pegged kind of the All-Star break, either right before or right after, as kind of the target date for Şengün to take over as the starter, depending on how his development goes. I really think you might have to expedite that date and move it all the way up to, I don't know, early February, January, maybe. I think I will absolutely stake my claim right now. Şengün will be starting next to Christian Wood at some point this season, like as the permanent new starting five. As far as when it happens, I think that the Rockets are still going to roll for a little while with Daniel Tice at the starting five spot before they fully commit to Alper and Şengün as the new starter. So those are my thoughts right there. I don't think they do it right away. Should they do it right away, though? Honestly, yeah. Şengün is the total package. They should do it right away, but because of the optics, I don't think that they will. So that's kind of where I stand on that front. From Pi101, players we must keep and not trade for the next few years. That's a bit of a loaded question. I think that I don't want to cop out completely on the question, Pi, but I will say that this season is going to be the season where we really get a glimpse into the future of this organization, and we're able to find who those foundational pieces are, right? Who is Kevin Porter Jr., right? Can he be the point guard of the future? Is he Is he potentially maybe one of the best players on this team? Is he potentially the best player on this team by the end of the season, right? As we were discussing in our most previous episode with Craig Ackerman, can Kevin Porter Jr. take that next step and take that leap? His potential is absolutely through the ceiling. Who else is going to be here for the long term? Christian Wood has 2 years left on his deal, this year and next year. Do the Rockets want to pay him? Is he a part of their long-term future? I'm not fully convinced at this point that he is. I think that right now, there is nobody on this roster that is untradeable. That word gets thrown around a lot in the NBA, like, oh, these guys are untouchable, untradeable, you can't move them. No, there's not a single player on this roster that Rafael Stone wouldn't pick up the phone for and at least entertain a conversation about, because nobody has shown that level of like top five talent. You're completely untouchable. You can't go anywhere. Even for the right price, somebody, you know, Rafael Stone would pick up the phone for Jalen Green. I'm putting that out there. The price would be absurdly high, right? But nobody on this roster is untouchable. So it's hard to say. You can safely bet on a lot of the young cast though. KPJ, I think KJ Martin has a lot of potential and could be one of those guys that you really want to hold on to and just kind of see how he develops. But that's the part, is so many of these guys are so young in their respective careers. I will say the one guy that I hope does stick around is Jayshon Tate. Jayshon Tate, even though he's older than the rest of the cast, I think he's one of those guys where you need a Jayshon Tate type player on your team when you're pushing for a title. And even though he doesn't quite line up age-wise with everybody else, he's still only 25 years old, right? As this rest of the Rockets' young core is coming to their own over the next 2, 3, 4 years, Jayshon Tate will be hitting 28, 29, 30, right? I hope they keep him long-term, and I hope he's the starting small forward for a long, long time, because he provides so many different intangibles, gives you so much versatility on both ends of the floor. The one thing that he's got to work on is his shot, right? But apart from that, he gives you a lot of different looks. He gives you a lot of flexibility with lineups where he can, you know, guard positions 1 through 5, all this different stuff. So he is one piece that I will say right now that I hope that they hold on to him so that he can be around, because he can be a critical part of the team that actually makes a push for the playoffs down the line. Now, final question for this segment from these mailbag questions, from Diego B. Favorite player on the squad? I just spent a couple minutes talking about him. It's Jayshon Tate. It really is. Jayshon Tate is easily my favorite player on this Rockets squad right now. Look, I got a lot of love for Kevin Porter Jr. I got a lot of love for Jalen Green. I think they're both going to do amazing things. They're exciting, dynamic players. Al P is awesome. C Wood, great. Jayshon Tate is my guy. I think that he is, again, I've got a thing for players like that, right? Give me the Jayshon Tates. Give me the PJ Tuckers. Give me the Chuck Hayeses of the world, right? I love those types of players. Those, again, dog mentality, do the dirty work. They're going to go out there and they, you know, there might be some nights where they don't fill up the box score, right? That sometimes happens, but they're out there absolutely putting in the work every single night. You cannot question their intensity. You cannot question their commitment, their hustle, all of that. They make winning basketball plays. Those are my types of players. And that's why Jayshon Tate is my favorite guy on this Rockets squad. So coming up, we've got the rest of our mailbag questions and we will get there after a quick message from our friends over at betonline.ag, because look, football back and better than ever. Pro and college football, BetOnline has you covered for all the pro and college football needs that you may or may not have. They've also got you covered for NBA right around the corner, MLB while it's still going strong, NHL, MMA, UFC, you name it, they've got it all over at BetOnline. It remains your number one spot for all of your betting odds. Head over to their new website and use promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. Again, they've got you for everything that you can imagine sports-wise. They've also got you for Vegas casino games, right? Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet online, where the game starts. And another message from our friends over at rockauto.com, because look, you got so many different numbers of makes and models of cars and brands and specifications, right? It's basically impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the different parts that you need, right? Not only that, why? So you go there, right? You drive down the street, you go there, and you're going to get questioned. You're going to get absolutely grilled, like it's an interrogation. Like, is your car this type, an LX, an EX, whatever? And they're going to have to just order the parts behind the counter anyways. You've got a computer at your home. You've got a computer in your pocket with your phone, right? Visit rockauto.com because you're going to save. Like, why would you want to spend 30, 50, or even 100% more for the exact same auto parts when you can just do it yourself on your phone, right? Super easy. Their catalog, their website, really easy to navigate. You can quickly find the brands and specifications that you need for your car or truck. And this is the important part. When you do find what you need, you go to checkout, be sure to write "Locked On" in there. How did you hear about us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car or truck will ever need. Be sure to visit rockauto.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Let's dive into our last few mailbag questions for today's episode. Reminder, we got one more episode coming out before the season opener. We'll have some final thoughts headed into the start of the campaign for the Houston Rockets this time around. I'll probably drop my awards predictions and maybe take a glance at like the wider NBA a little bit in that episode, as well as just some final thoughts headed into the season opener for the Houston Rockets. But let's go ahead and continue down our mailbag path. So here we go from Tloomfield. Hope I say that right. How do you think KPJ has looked so far? Can he be the long-term point guard? I think KPJ has looked really up and down so far. And this season is going to be really telling for him. He looked great last season in the stretches where he was able to just be the guard, be the point guard, be the primary facilitator for the team. He looked great. And I think that there have been stretches through preseason this go around where he's been kind of overthinking some things. He's been in his own head a little bit. He had the really great game against the Wizards. Struggled against the really solid defenses of the Miami Heat and the Toronto Raptors. Had some stretches where he looked really solid against the Spurs. But ultimately, do I think he can be the long-term point guard fit of the future? I think KPJ, look, he is a point guard and he also like isn't a point guard, right? It's like trying to say James Harden's a point guard. Is he? No, he's like a two guard. He's an absolute like scoring machine that has such insane scoring gravity and playmaking chops that he makes it work, right? He's not your traditional like floor general point guard, right? He's not from the Chris Paul, Kyle Lowry, like Jason Kidd school of point guards, I guess, right? That's not the vibe that I get from KPJ. That's not to say that he can't be the long-term fit at point guard. I absolutely think he can. I think at times his playmaking and court vision ability has impressed me more than his scoring ability. And that speaks volumes because his scoring ability is insane, right? But his ability to find teammates, and it's that balancing act of using his ability to be a threat, to score the ball, to create opportunities for his teammates that he needs to find that balance to work with, right? And having the keys to the offense, being able to be the guy with the ball in his hands the majority of the time, setting up his teammates, all of that, really getting used to actually orchestrating the offense, some of the, you know, actual responsibilities of the point guard, not just having the ball in his hands, right? Not just making reads on the fly. That will come with time. That will come with reps. I think he's been good so far. Again, he's been kind of up and down. I'm expecting this to be a bit of an up and down season at times for KPJ and Jalen Green. And I will stress to everybody watching and listening to this that they need time, right? That backcourt's going to need time to learn how to work together. This entire core group of guys is going to need time to learn how to live and play and work and vibe together. So if we're five games in and the Rockets are 0-5 and they've had some hiccups here and there, don't jump ship. Don't start trying to crucify guys. Don't start calling for Steven Silas to be fired. That's not what this is. This is a rebuild, right? There's going to be bumps in the road. Stick with the team. That's all I'm going to, that's my message there. Regarding that, but let's get to our next one from Listen to Lycon. Do you think we made the right move waving Exum? Should they have moved / waived someone else? This is a tough one. I liked Dante Exum. I liked maybe I just liked the idea of Dante Exum more than I actually liked Dante Exum. But the idea of Dante Exum sounded really solid and he looked good in spurts in preseason, but he had, you know, ultimately injury concerns, right? Hasn't ever really been able to be healthy. Unfortunately, that's been his main struggle throughout his career. When he's been able to be on the floor, he's looked good, right? And the idea of having a defensive guard to pair alongside one of KPJ or Jalen Green in spurts throughout the game was kind of enticing. It's the same reason I was a little bummed that they moved on from Khyree Thomas, because I think Khyree Thomas showed some prowess on the defensive side of the court. So I don't think it was the wrong move. Ultimately, I really do love what DJ Augustine brings to the table. And I think that if you're looking at having a nice, stable mix of veterans and young guys on the roster, DJ Augustine is absolutely somebody that you want on this roster, especially because there's really only two real point guards on this roster at this point. And even then, KPJ is still learning the position. So it's KPJ for, 36 to 38 minutes a night. And then DJ Augustine for another 10 to 12 minutes a night backing him up. That's basically it. If you had held on to Dante Exum and moved on from DJ Augustine, then reasonably Dante Exum's your only backup guard, right? And he has to be the guy running the offense, and he doesn't provide you that same calming influence that DJ Augustine does. And I think that, honestly, DJ Augustine might really be able to help out Jalen Green for certain stretches. And I think we saw that during preseason, where some of the substitution patterns that Silas was playing around with included sitting down Kevin Porter Jr. and having DJ Augustine get that run next to Jalen Green. That way, DJ, a more traditional point guard by trade, can help set up and create opportunities for Jalen Green. And we saw some really some well-designed sets trying to get Jalen Green the basketball, trying to get him going downhill off of some, dribble handoff actions, some curls, little pin down screens and things like that. And those happened when DJ Augustine was in the game, like going out of their way to try and design plays for Jalen Green. So I don't think it was the wrong move. I would have been interested to keep Exum, but this is also kind of where you're at when you're between a rock and a hard place, or I should say a wall and a hard place, with one of your roster spots being occupied by one of your assistant coaches. So what more can you do if you're the Houston Rockets? Let's go with Trent M. What does Jalen Green need to work on outside of shot selection after preseason? I think Jalen's biggest thing is going to be, getting up to speed at the NBA level. Obviously, he has all the scoring prowess in the world. He could score at all three levels. And like we saw in the Spurs game, somebody got into his ear at halftime and he was uber aggressive in that third quarter, right? So seeing what he's able to do when his mentality is in the right spot, I think that's going to be a big part, is getting his confidence to where it needs to be, especially when he goes up against some of the more elite NBA defenses. But ultimately, his passing, that's the part of his game that is going to unlock him as a truly dynamic player. And we've already seen some flashes, right? We've seen his ability to look for teammates, to use his gravity to create for others. It's just getting more comfortable with that, right? Building on the foundations that are already there for him. And once Jalen Green gets to a point where he is just as much of a threat to pass and create for somebody else as he is to score the ball himself, that's when his game is going to open up even further, because the defenses will have no idea what he's doing right now. Right now, they're treating him as just a bona fide scorer, right? There's not really a worry that he's going to be setting up guys left and right with dimes. That's not the concern with Jalen Green. And defenses are able to kind of body him a little bit, right? They can be a little more physical with him, and he'll get the NBA body with time, right? You can think back to the, moment that we saw Tyler Herro and how bulked up he looked in the Miami Heat preseason game compared to where he looked 2 years ago, right? So we're going to see Jalen Green score an abundant amount of points this season. I'm not expecting him to average more than 3 assists per game. I think that's going to be the area of his game that he's got to focus on, in addition to just getting more comfortable with the speed and the physicality of the NBA game itself. Let's go with our very last mailbag question for this episode. So last topic from Spencer H. Can this Rockets team make the play-in, or are they for sure lottery bound? So, I know that there's a subsection of Rockets fans that have talk themselves into the play-in tournament. They want to see this team in the play-in tournament. They want to see this team. They think there's a lot of talent on this team. There is. There is a lot of talent on this team. Rafael Stone has done an amazing job finding talent and basically jump-starting a rebuild within less than a calendar year from when James Harden was traded away and the franchise moved on from its franchise cornerstone. Absolutely, without a doubt. But It's a lot of raw talent. It's a lot of unestablished talent. It's talent that needs to be cultivated and grown. Ultimately, I think this team is going to be fun and exciting, and there's a lot more narratives and a lot more players to cheer for on this team this season than there were last season. There were still a lot of guys to cheer for, but this is truly the fresh start of the rebuild, right? I think Craig Ackerman said it really well. Last year was a transitional year, and then this year is really the breath of fresh air, fresh start, zero expectations, all of that. And because of that, I'm not going to sit here and try and, you know, paint a picture that the Rockets are going to be fighting for a play-in spot. I don't think it happens. I genuinely don't. I think they probably finish somewhere in the bottom five of the league ballpark, somewhere like 26th, 27th, maybe. I think the Vegas over under has them at 25 and a half wins. They're going to finish somewhere around there. I've had them pegged as like in between 25 and 30 wins for a long, long time. I would be ecstatic if they proved me wrong. I have said it time and time again. My favorite meal is crow. I will gladly eat it if I am wrong. If this team can go out there and prove that they can be some like level of competent defensively, that they're not just a dumpster fire on that end because they're a bunch of young guys who have never played together at the NBA level, trying to get accustomed to the speed of the NBA game. Sure, I am here for it if they can do that. I just don't think it's likely in the slightest. And I don't want Rockets fans to tee themselves up thinking, oh yeah, we already got Jalen Green. We're going to be fighting for a playing spot. We'll be competing for a chip next season. No, like you need to temper your expectations a little bit and just, again, enjoy the journey, right? Enjoy the game by game, watching KPJ have an explosive night, watching Jalen Green have watching Jalen Green do insane things like catch that out of bounds pass from Christian Wood that was definitely going to go into like the 17th row in the San Antonio Spurs stadium. Like, what was that, right? He skied out of the gym. It looked like something, you know, out of Space Jam, the way that Jalen Green jumped and extended to save that pass from sailing out of bounds. So it's little things like that, right? Enjoy the highlight plays. Enjoy the KJ Martin blocks. Enjoy the Jalen Green explosive offensive performances. Enjoy the Al P shenanigans. Enjoy the crazy passes that you see from him. And enjoy the growth. Enjoy the journey of this young team. Don't just be focused on the next destination and, oh, when are we going to be competing for a title again? When are we pushing for the playoffs? Because you can enjoy the game past that. And I would implore you to be able to do so. So with that, that's going to be the end of today's episode. As always, thank you for checking out the show. Sincerely appreciate it. If you haven't done so yet, check out the brand new YouTube channel. Hit subscribe if you haven't done it. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts, free and available on every single platform. Make Locked On Rockets your first listen of the day. And tell you what, go make Locked On Fantasy Basketball your second listen of the day. If you're a big fantasy person, you got to go check out Josh Lloyd over at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. He is the number one fantasy basketball guru in the world. So go check out Josh Lloyd. But for today's episode, so that's going to do it. As always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.